Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I am host of this program. And Dave Buhner also in studio with me, also a father of five. Dave Buhner, also a father of five. And in the news today, we want to talk about education. A principal in Florida, as I think we mentioned a few days ago, a principal in Florida up for 6 months in jail for praying on school property during off-school hours. And at the same time that's happening, out in East Lynn, Oregon, a transgendered high school math teacher is coming back to work. And this is a story from Oregon, West Lynn, Oregon. A longtime teacher has been hiding a secret for years. When students return to school, they will go from calling him he to she. For 20 years, Nicholas Kintz taught math at West Lynn High School. While at home for the last 3 years, she lived as Nicole Kintz. And Dave, interesting comment here from the principal of the school. In a letter explaining the situation to the staff earlier this month, Principal Lou Bailey said the state changed the wording around discrimination a year and a half ago to address gender identity. He writes, "We believe we have a teachable moment for ourselves, our students in this community, a teachable moment, and teachable moment indeed, when your teacher shows up, used to be a he, now a she." Teachable moments, I can think of a lot of teachable moments, Dave. Two sodomite teachers doing their thing maybe in the hallway. I think that would be a teachable moment. Or maybe the principal running nude through the cafeteria at lunchtime. That would be, I think, another teachable moment.
We've had lots of teachable moments in our history. We had Jeffrey Dahmer. That was a teachable moment, all about eating people and killing and murdering and that sort of thing. And we had that Columbine. It was a teachable
tremendous teachable moment. You had the one guy with the natural selection on his T-shirt as he was blowing away his 19 fellow students. A teachable moment about this natural selection.
I think 9/11 was a teachable moment.
Yeah.
Kind of lessons that you learn every once in a while and they come up. Now, the question isn't whether or not the moment is teachable, of course, but what are you going to teach after that moment?
And, Dave, what in the world would our children think of if they were sitting there watching this transgendered teacher prancing into the classroom? I tell you what, I'm not sure why parents in their right minds send their kids to these schools except to learn the standards of the Canaanites. This is what you would learn in Canaanite education back in, 2000 BC, when the Israelites were in the land and shuffling their kids off to the Canaanites to learn how to engage in human sacrifice, cannibalism, homosexuality, and all the other abominations. And, of course, God wasn't all that impressed with the Israelites during the time of the judges, and they received God's judgment as a result of that. Well, as we talk about transgendered stuff, I mean, it is a teachable moment. Okay, let's say your neighbor winds up getting transgendered. That, I think, is a teachable moment. And you point it out and you say, "Hun, that is an abomination against God." You turn right to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, and you find that the word of God actually does apply to about every area of life and equips the man of God for every good work. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 is very clear that a man wearing a woman's clothing is an abomination to God. Therefore, if he's got his woman's clothing and if maybe a few other things that belong to women on him, as in body parts and stuff, I would say that would be an abomination to God, and Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5 certainly brings that out. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, as homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, etc., shall inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified." And as you point out the transgendered guy, you just say, well, there's a guy who's not washed, not sanctified, and not cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Dave, I think you just say, that's an effeminate man. Typically, I'd say an effeminate man would be a man with the female body parts. Am I going a little too far here, Dave? I think that's pretty close to acting like an effeminate man.
Well, yeah, certainly an effeminate man would be one who surgically has the feminine body parts, who presents himself as a woman, who wears women's clothing, who perhaps even changes his voice to act like a woman. But you don't even have to go that far. You could just simply be the guy who speaks like the woman, and we all know what I'm talking about. They speak in very sensitive ways, and they tend to be very good at dressing and decorating.
And Dave, I think it's important for our sons to be raised with the concept of their masculinity. God wants our sons to act like men. And throughout the Word, we have God encouraging our men to be men and to be courageous and to be forward and to defend women and to act like men, to be masculine. Gird up your loins like a man and listen to me, says God to Job. God appreciates it when a man acts like a man. He didn't want a man looking like a woman. He didn't make him to be a woman. He made him to be a man. And we're going to have to train our young men to be men, especially in a feminine age where homosexuality, bisexuality, and this whole gender blender, neutral gender thing is just dominating in our day. God created genders, and he likes it that way. And he can't stand it when a man is effeminate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, I'm going to talk about how we raise our boys to be effeminate, how we raise our boys to be weird, to be twisted, how we raise our girls to be twisted. Twisted Kids next on Generation. Stay with me. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Want to welcome you back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Dave Buhner, also in studio, a couple of dads trying to raise our children to be God's kids, not the twisted kids that are being raised today, and that's practically normative, unfortunately, in the day in which we live. I mean, you talk about twisted kids, that's the cool thing. In fact, if you are pretty twisted, if you're the cross-dressing homosexual kid running for the queen of the rodeo, that's pretty cool in the modern age. But ladies and gentlemen, such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I think that's pretty clear. And that's because God created the world a certain way. And yes, men want to show God the finger and do it their own way and take whatever he made and put it through a blender and twist it up and make it look really weird. And, you know, it's just like taking a painting from somebody. Let's say Michelangelo produced a wonderful painting and someone says, here, let me make this thing a little better for you. It takes out a black brush and paint and just kind of puts one more stroke across Michelangelo's work of art. Says, there, I really helped you there, you know, improved the work of art that you produced. And this is, of course, what men are doing to God's creation all the time. And Dave, I think this is an important warning, because if you train your children to be twisted when they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, they will be twisted and they could be very weird, and they could wind up not inheriting the kingdom of God and going to hell later on. And that's not what we want. So, again, important warnings. It's important how you raise your children. And, Dave, again, we've got nature issues and nurture issues. Yeah, our children have a natural propensity to sin. I think we've got to begin with that. There's a natural propensity to sin within every child. And yet, nurture is important. The nurture that you give your children could result in your children embracing Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, and walking in God's ways. Or, if you nurture them in the wrong way, they could wind up really, really twisted in the end. I just read a story as I was investigating this whole area of transgender and cross-dressing on the Exodus website. You know, there's an Exodus ministry out there to help homosexuals get rid of this bondage of homosexuality and transgender and all the rest of these sexual perversions. But one of the testimonies I read, Dave, was about a young man who had a serious problem with these sorts of things. But it began, it was really stirred up when he was a young boy. He was an only child, and his mother was a seamstress, and she was sewing dresses. And because she didn't have any little girls in the home, she would try them out on him. And these things, of course, planted seeds in this boy's mind and nurtured concepts in this boy's mind that were an abomination to God and ultimately led to some habitual issues in his life that he had to deal with later on. And, of course, by God's grace today, according to this testimony, he has managed to rid himself of these things. But it was encouraged early on. And this mother should have been reading Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. It is an abomination for a man to dress in a woman's garment, according to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. And, of course, Dave, he's, you know, that little boy had certain natural inclinations towards sin, as every little boy does. So the last thing you want to do is encourage those things, if you know what I mean. And I'm just using one example. I mean, we could do that probably in 100,000 different ways as parents.
Well, in that case, you have the unfortunate problem of a young boy who is pleasing his mother, and as he gets that satisfaction that he's honoring and pleasing his mother, he's engaging in a type of behavior he ought not be engaging in. And so the two go head to head, the conflict between dressing as a woman and pleasing his mother, and he finds out that he pleases his mother by dressing as a woman, and that leads to greater problems later on. Look, it's not that hard. We sit down with our children, we say God created them male, and he created them female, male and female. He didn't create them half male, half female. We're not Mr. Potato Heads, where we can just take the Mrs. Potato Head parts and plug them into Mr. Potato and back and forth. God wants men to be men and women to be women. We explain that to our boys and girls, and they usually get it if we don't mess it up.
And Dave, I think I also read that Halloween costumes and certain skit costumes where a boy will put on a girl's costume can also be a confusing thing for a young boy. And again, I think even when we're playing like this, if you're playing like a transgendered person, or you're playing like a homosexual, or you're playing like a fornicator, oftentimes you wind up taking on that role and enjoying the role in the process. And I think, again, we're coming at this assuming that man has a sinful nature. And as parents, boy, we've got to nurture these little ones in the right way of thinking about all of these things. And Dave, I'd throw in modesty in the same conversation. We have got to train our little children in the area of modesty. If they're used to walking around without clothes on when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and they're not being trained to be careful not to show themselves to the world around them. And it's interesting. I noticed this about my little children. They didn't have clear limits of modesty within their own natural inclinations, and you had to train them in those things. Otherwise, they'd probably wind up fornicating and being extraordinarily immodest in their later years. I'd say also that mom and dad should be careful with how they present themselves in the home as well.
It's interesting that some of the greatest advances in Western civilization have come in a climate that is a little chilly. It's not in the equatorial band. In fact, it's largely been where people must wear clothes. Now, I believe it's because God brings a blessing of all kinds of things. Like, your mind can actually think about solving other problems rather than looking at the opposite sex that's halfway undressed around you all the time, which leads you to not thinking about solving other problems, if you get my drift.
Yeah. And it may be the reason why a lot of these tropical areas have huge problems with fornication and homosexuality. You can remember, I mean, not necessarily today, but certainly when these explorers and these missionaries found these tribes in these island areas where there was very little need for clothes, they would wind up with huge problems in the area of modesty and fornication and so forth.
And interestingly enough, it was those colder places like Northern Ireland and Scandinavia that built shipping, because apparently they wanted to go somewhere warmer too. So, you know, it had a double benefit. But, you know, when we teach our children to be modest, we put clothes on them. It helps if you're in a colder climate, but you may not be. Maybe you're down there in Arizona and it is warm all the time. But now the principle of modesty has to be taught as a spiritual principle, as a way of not offending the brother, and keeping that which belongs to yourself and to your future spouse set aside for them.
And Dave, I think as we are trying to raise our children with a right sense of propriety in all these different areas, what we're saying is that God created us for a certain purpose in life. He created us as male and female. That was his intention from the beginning. He created animals, and he wants us taking good care of those animals. And if we allow our children into these various areas of perversion, and I would include a fixation on unnatural or cruel activities, such as torturing animals, you know, pulling the legs off of little beetles and torturing a cat to death, you know, and enjoying the process of doing that, Dave, all of these are ways in which we are disrespectful towards God. Why? Because God made that cat. And that's another reason why we don't drink blood. I believe that the life is in the blood, and about 6 or 7 or 8 times in Old and New Testament, God warns us again and again and again and again, do not drink the blood as you eat the meat, and he allows us to eat the meat. But in the process, we are still to respect the animal, because the animal is made by the Creator, and God appreciates his animals. God loves his animals, and he doesn't want us torturing them and giving him the finger in the process of torturing the good animals that he has made for his own glory.
And what does it mean to torture an animal? Might be debatable if you're taking them to slaughter or something, but certainly torturing them for our amusement is wicked and wrong. And, you know, I don't have any love for cats. I don't. We've had several cats. We live out in the country. The coyotes eat them regularly. We don't mourn the cats either, but we don't go out of our way to make their lives miserable. A righteous man takes care of his animal.
And, Dave, I think it involves appreciating God's creation for what it is. God appreciates his creation. He called it good. He looked at his trees that he made and his animals and his cats and his dogs, and he appreciated them. I look at our little cat that we have inherited, and I sat there studying it for about 2 or 3 minutes the other day, and I just really appreciated the handiwork that God had put together here with the ears and the tongue and the mouth and the hair and the fur, and it's very a playful cat. It loves to roll around, and I keep thinking to myself, you know, wow, what a creation God has produced here. And I called my children together, and just we together thanked God and praised God for his marvelous creation. Now, see, that's a far cry from saying, well, forget God. Forget his creation. None of this is any good. Let's just have fun for the next 2 hours and torture this cat to death. I mean, those are two different worldviews operating there.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And the cat is uniquely created for the purpose and the abilities that God gave it. It's a silent killer. It can stalk up on little rodents. It can see in the night. They really are amazing. It's amazing how much conniving God put in a little package.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, training our children to appreciate God's creation and not being twisted in the way we treat ourselves, our bodies, the way we dress ourselves, the way we present ourselves, the way we deal with cats, the way we deal with the human body. We've mentioned this before, but there's a reason why we don't dig up skulls of human beings and kick them around the yard like soccer balls. Why? We still respect the image of God. Yes, the body as well as the soul are made in the image of God, and we're going to take good care of that. We also don't surgically remove the front legs of a dog and train him to walk on its hind legs. That's not going to be a biology experiment in our home. Why? Because God did not make the dog that way. And we're not going to do things like that. We're not doing body mutilations and tattooing in our family. For one thing, it's forbidden in the Word of God. But secondly, God has already made a body the way he likes it. And when we put a third arm on the back of a person, or when we cut our body and shove steel through our body in various areas of our anatomy, we're telling God, hey, we don't respect this body that you've made. We don't think it's very beautiful, and we're just going to go ahead and ruin it. Now, again, Dave, I'm not saying that at points we don't allow for a little corrective surgery. Let's say somebody got burned pretty badly. But the reason we do that is we're trying to restore it to what God initially had made. I mean, it was the fire, it was the burning, it was the mutilation that ruined the body. And when we allow a certain amount of cosmetic surgery for our children or for our relatives or for those that have gone through some pretty severe accidents, all we're trying to do is restore what God made in the first place. Because, again, the bottom line presupposition is God exists. God made us. He made us good. He made us holy. He made us right. And we're going to do what we can to restore that original creation.
Yeah, it's just like the child who's born with the cleft palate. You know, they're going to have corrective surgery. But why are they going to have corrective surgery? They're going to have corrective surgery to undo the effect of sin. They had a cleft palate, not because of their sin or because of their parents' sin, but because sin entered in this world. They're going to be undergoing a surgery to try and create them or recreate them the way that God made man in the garden. You know, not pure of sin, but undefiled from some of the effects of sin physically.
So first of all, I think we're acknowledging that God is wise, God is good, and God knows what he's doing, and we're not going to second-guess God. If God wants us this way, then we are content to be this way. And Dave, again, I think what we're trying to say is our children should learn the lesson of contentment. And when that child becomes discontent with his toys, or that child becomes discontent with his food, or when that child becomes discontent with the way that he looks, his shape, his form, his the color of his hair, whether or not he was created a girl or a boy, he's learning the lessons of discontentment. And that, of course, is wrong. That's a lack of gratitude. And as Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, knowing that God wanted him that way. Now, let's move on to one more topic, and that is the area of idolatry. Because, Dave, sometimes I think our children's hearts get attached to certain things, and they turn things into fetishes. And this is another thing that produces twisted children. Okay, folks? We assume there is one God and he is to be worshipped. When we idolize other things, when we turn our sexual perversions into idolatry, when we turn our eating disorders into idolatry, or it could be 100 other things, we wind up with twisted children. They could turn anything into an idol, and in the process, when they're fixating on these things, they become twisted in the way that they live their lives. And Dave, I think what happens often with our children is they fixate on games. They fixate on good times. They fixate on food. They might eventually fixate on some aspect of sexuality. They do that because they're turning these things into idols. And we ought to point it out to our children when that happens. And you know your son, you know your daughter. When my son is sitting down to eat with us and we pray, and within 0.05 seconds of me saying, in Jesus' name, amen, his hand has slammed across the table and he's grabbing a biscuit. I know that he is more impressed with eating than he is with the God who provided him the food. It's just something I can tell is happening within the heart of my son because I know my son. And I think when we point out this and we say, son, you're given to idolatry, you're turning that food into the idol, and you're not really focused on God as we thank him for the food, you're discipling him in these areas. And if you do these things in small areas, I think you can avoid the possibility of him focusing in and fixating on some weird fetish when he's 22, 23, 24 years of age.
Part of the battle here is that it seems those things that are a little crooked, a little twisted, even a little kinky, are associated with the good times. So we get a feedback mechanism working where when things are evil, we feel good. Very important, then, that when we see the twisted scene in the movie that we happen to be watching and we stop the film. If we're in the theater, we point out to them and say, this is an abomination before God. This is people who hate God trying to make what is evil seem fun or seem titillating to you. And it doesn't matter if it's the food or it's whatever. If we don't do it for the glory of God and we're enjoying it, we're really walking into idolatry.
And it's not unusual where people will take a thing, an abomination like homosexuality or the transgender thing or cross-dressing, they'll make jokes about it. I mean, how many comedies have we seen coming out of Hollywood that make a joke about these sorts of things? They make light of these things. God doesn't. He doesn't see these things as a joke. I remember one time watching just a segment of I think it was Roseanne or one of those comedies 20 years ago. We haven't watched television in a decade or two now, so it's been a long time. But I caught just a little segment of this comedy, a sitcom, and they were making a huge joke out of the fact this 13-year-old kid had access to the porn magazines in the home. And, Dave, you know, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, I flipped it off right away and said, this is sick, because I can't tell you how many men I've run into who had that happen to them, and for 20, 25, 30 years out of their lives, they've been fighting it. It's ruined their marriages. And they've got this addiction going, and it's really not all that funny, to be honest with you. So we got to be really careful what our children are watching, what they're listening to. I mean, one reason why a lot of our kids are turning out twisted is because their music stars are twisted. I think anybody who's going to think Michael Jackson is their star and they enjoy his music and watch his music videos, they're going to wind up a little twisted, to be honest with you. And this may be the reason why we've got so many twisted kids. It's almost normative today.
Well, the music industry definitely pushes a perverted worldview, and it has since I was a kid. When the Beatles came to America and then they adopted their Eastern religion and they grew the long hair, we knew what was going on. This was defiance of parents, but it was a twisted worldview. It was very mild compared to what it is today. It has just gone down that road to the point where the more wicked you are, the more your arms are covered with tattoos, the bigger the bone in your nose, the more defiant you are, the more sexually, can I use the word icky, you are, more likely the promoters are going to put you on the top 40.
All right, folks, you've been listening to some cultural commentary today, but more importantly, important warnings for the way that you raise your children. You're raising twisted kids. You want something really weird coming out in the next 20 years? Or do you want to raise your children for the glory of God by his standard, according to his definitions of what a good kid should look like? And this is one of the main reasons we're doing this program today, my friends, is because God establishes the standards. And when man has cut loose any kind of an absolute standard, and he's wandering in the barren wilderness of the postmodern age, he has no idea how to raise a kid. And so he winds up with a bunch of weirdos and 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age. And, of course, the economic and social debacle that we see before us today. Well, crack the Word of God. Read a little Exodus, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Ephesians. Find out what God wants for the raising of mighty men of God and beautiful women of God. And, folks, you can get some of my talks on these specific issues by just going to my website. And you can grab 10 talks for it's only $12-14. You get 10 hours of presentations on these issues at our website, kevinswanson.com. Just click on resources and grab 10 of my talks on an MP3 for just $12-14. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and... what's that I keep forgetting? Oh, yes, your mind. It's hard to think well. Simple Tools for Brain Surgery gives you the right tools. Here's Worldview Academy's Bill Jack.
The Wizard of Oz tells the Cowardly Lion, "You are under the unfortunate delusion that simply because you run away from danger, you have not courage. You are confusing courage with wisdom." The wise man told the religious leaders of his day, "You have taken away the key of wisdom." What is the key of wisdom? The writer of the book of wisdom, Proverbs, tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, fear God." Oswald Chambers said it this way, "If you fear God, you will fear nothing else. If you do not fear God, you will fear everything else." Courage is not the absence of fear. It is fear in its proper perspective. Once you fear the true Creator, He takes away fear of everything else.
To add more tools to your kit, go to worldview.org.